beards that reach down to your toes, and beards that grow right up your nose. They're quite impressive, I suppose, but I think I love your beard the most.
Do you love beards? Do you have one? Have you ever? What do you make of the apparent comeback of beards and facial hair in general? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, January 17th. Our interest in beards comes from the recent chatter, some of it negative, over White House Press Secretary Jay Carney growing a beard.
My wife says she likes it, so there.
TMI.
In any case, there's been a lot of issues in the news, a lot of articles in the news. There's an article in the New York Times about the Brooklyn beard going mainstream. And our guest this hour wrote a recent piece in The Atlantic on the rise and fall and rise again of facial hair. So are you a fan or a foe? Beards, hot or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Hey, post a picture if you want to, or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Olga Hazan, an associate editor at The Atlantic, where she covers health issues. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Well, we want to focus on this current trend for the most part, but your piece was a historic look at the rise and fall and rise again of beards.
Right, exactly. It looked more at two studies done in the mid-20th century, so it was kind of a look way back.
Yeah, so have, was there a time when... Seems to me that looking at old pictures, guys always had beards, or was that just my imagination?
Right. Well, so it's kind of interesting. The 1940 study that I, or I'm sorry, the 1970 study that I looked at, the author of the study looked at illustrations in the London News, which was a continuous weekly publication at the time. And he looked at it from 1842 to 1972. And he actually looked at a whole variety of facial hair. He looked at sideburns and mustaches, just beards, just mustaches, clean-shaven faces. And he actually found different trends over time. He found that sideburns once were very popular, and then they rapidly kind of dwindled in the late 1800s. They found that beards weren't popular at all in the early 1800s and then became very popular in the late 1800s. And then, you know, kind of vanished again in the 20th century. So he found all sorts of different trends by looking at these photos in the London News.
Yeah. And in the spirit of full disclosure, my husband had not a beard but a mustache back in the 70s and 80s when he works for he's a TV anchorman, and back in the Ron Burgundy days when those mustaches were more popular, he had one. He has shaved it many years now. He has shaved it, and I have to admit, when he first did it, I didn't recognize him because he had that since the first time I met him. But so I thought that facial hair was kind of on its way out, but it's coming back, Olga?
It seems to me that it is. It looks like we're kind of seeing a reaction to maybe the metrosexual age of the kind of, an earlier, time during the kind of maybe 5 years ago when, it was really all the rage to kind of look really clean and well-groomed. And now we're seeing that men are, maybe looking a little bit more rugged and a little bit more like a lumberjack.
So, several men of note have been growing facial hair. We've seen photos of Al Roker and Matt Lauer and even Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. I think most of them, though, did that for the No Shave campaign to support men's health charities. Did that help revitalize facial hair?
Well, I do think that that's part of it. There's this sort of Movember movement that you're seeing, and I think something like a million men signed up for that. I think that's the most recent statistic, and that's for prostate cancer. And they raised something like $95 million for that cause. So I do think that some of these more facial hair-oriented celebrations help promote it. And, you know, I just kind of think that, but it also kind of goes with the fashion. I don't think we'd be doing those kinds of events if, you know, people didn't really want to experiment that way.
Yeah. And as mentioned, there was so much chatter when White House Press Secretary Jay Carney walked out after the Christmas break with his sporting his beard, and some people thought, "Whoa, you know, they didn't like it." And he said, "Well, too bad, my wife likes it." But there was an article then in the New York Times calling that the Brooklyn beard. Do you know what the Brooklyn beard is?
I think it's just sort of, you know, kind of a not super bushy and kind of stylish beard that kind of became popular with the hipster community. But I think one reason why it may have been so jarring for Jay Carney is that actually politics is one area where we don't see a lot of facial hair. I found this in my research, but the last president of the U.S. To wear any type of facial hair was William Howard Taft. In 1913, and the last vice president to have any facial hair was Charles Curtis in 1933.
That's interesting, isn't it? So,
right.
So does that mean that we don't elect politicians with facial hair?
Well, it does seem that there's sort of this theory in social psychology that women do find men with facial hair to be more masculine, but actually when it comes to hiring, you usually see that clean-shaven people are more likely to be hired for top leadership positions. Of course, that might just be sort of a cultural convention rather than anything we psychologically associate with facial hair, but it could be that these politicians are just trying to project as clean of an image as possible.
Yeah. So who for the most part is, who are growing beards? What types of men?
I mean, now I think it's really become very widespread. I think it's, you know, everyone from, you know, business executives, do you see people in the White House, obviously. I think, you know, still kind of the more hipster artist community is still doing it. People are doing it for causes. I mean, you really see it for all different walks of life, I think.
And in radio, my producer, director, Bill Martins, doesn't sport a beard every day, but he will come in with 3 or 4 days of growth on a regular basis. And it doesn't look that bad, I guess. And another one of our announcers, I asked him because he didn't always have a beard. Now he has kind of a goatee. And he said that what he did is he did in November stop shaving, had a full-fledged beard, and noticed that he wasn't growing in along the sideburns and the sides of his face very well. So he just shaved that off, and now he has the goatee. And he says that shaves time off his morning routine. So that's why he decided to keep it. What do you think?
Right. Well, actually, goatees are also kind of making a comeback, but it's interesting because they were actually started to become popular for the first time in the early 20th century. And no offense to your producer, but actually Stalin was like one of the people who popularized that.
Yeah. What about the guys that just have 3-4 days growth? That seems to be more common these days, too.
Right. I think I also encountered another study that said that it was something like 10 days worth of stubble was the ideal look if you want to just look really polished but also still have some facial hair. So kind of that, you know, I just simply forgot to shave on accident for 10 days seems to be a common phenomenon.
That's funny. Well, Olga, I know you're a reporter, but what do you think of this trend?
I mean, I think it's good. It's, you know, it kind of makes sense because facial hair is one of the few ways that you know, men can kind of accessorize. You know, they don't really wear makeup or anything, so it's a way to change up their look. You know, and I think it's a good sign that we're becoming a little bit more laid back in offices and even in politics, that we're accepting people who choose to kind of, you know, experiment with their appearance.
We are talking about facial hair and the comeback of facial hair, and more men in high-profile men like White House Secretary Press Secretary Jay Carney growing beards. What do you think of this trend? Do you have a beard? Do you have a significant other who has a beard? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Look at my facial hair.
Well, beards and facial hair appear to be everywhere these days. Do you approve of this trend? Do you have a beard? Do you like beards or not? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Olga Hazan. She's an associate editor at The Atlantic, where she covers health issues, and she wrote a piece on the rise and fall and rise of facial hair. And what prompted you writing that piece, Olga?
Well, we cover kind of a lot of different offbeat things. So usually readers are pretty interested in grooming, and beards can be kind of a surprisingly contentious issue. So it tends to be a little bit of a recurring beat for us. And I just saw some of these charts from the study that I highlighted kind of floating around online, and I decided to track down their origins. And it turns out it all started with this study in the 1970s.
Interesting. Well, we have full lines, so there's a lot of interest in beards. Don in Waukesha is with us. Hello, Don.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for having me. You mentioned earlier about facial hair in politics, and I'm from New York State originally. My father was a big fan of the governor, Thomas Dewey, who on paper should have beaten Harry Truman in that 1952 election. And as we know, he lost in like the greatest upset in American political history. And my dad still maintains to this very day that the reason he lost was because he had a mustache, and there was still this distrust by the general public towards politicians that had facial hair.
Interesting. So Don's dad might have been onto something, Olga?
Yeah, I mean, so mustaches, you know, they really peaked in kind of the 20s and 30s, and then you just see this really steep decline after that point. You know, by the 1950s, 1960s, they were really quite rare. So I think they were kind of started to be associated with, you know, maybe shady characters.
Thanks very much, Don. Well, I'm thinking of Hitler had a mustache. So maybe,
right.
You know, maybe we have a negative connotation because of that.
Right. I think it's popular among dictators for some reason.
Really? Judy in Manitowoc emails, clean shaven, please. It looks much nicer, and I don't like to kiss a full face of hair. But then John from Richland Center asks, do women like beards on men? So what do we know about that, Olga?
Well, as far as the academic research, I mean, again, this stuff is so open to interpretation, and, you know, whether one person finds something attractive, it doesn't mean the next person will. But as far as the studies that have been done on it, women do judge faces that have a lot of stubble, or even you know, faces that have beards, as being more masculine. And some researchers interpret that as being more attractive. But that's just sort of a tendency. There are always outliers.
Yeah. Let's go to Jim in Hermantown, Minnesota. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how are you doing?
Pretty
well, you guys are, Olga, it's nice to meet you. Thank you, and thank you for you guys' show. I'm a country boy, redneck, truck driving, you know, fox. I've done the country boy thing. I find it interesting. You mentioned the masculine part of it. I mean, I've always had a beard or a mustache or a goatee, and I know a lot of people in the world that I'm in that, you know, the construction workers, the guys that work trucks, the guys that work in the ranches and stuff. We've always had beards and mustaches, and I always kind of thought it was kind of interesting when I saw the trends sort of go towards that. And, you know, we had the cutoff T-shirts, so everybody started wearing those. We had the baseball caps that were real worn out. Everybody started wearing those, but we've always done it.
Yeah.
And I like that masculine side. I mean, that makes me feel good about myself, I guess. I guess you'd have to ask my wife about that, but, I mean, it's, I think that trend is always there, but then, like you say, it's social networking and stuff like that. Every once in a while, the country boys, the cowboys, the, you know, the kind of the hardcore American middle of the road kind of guys are always tend to have beards and mustaches or goatees.
You're a trendsetter, Jim.
Well, and I'm just saying the whole sort of middle America, I guess you could say, you know, we've never really thought of it as a trend. It's just we've always did it because, you know, I got up at 3 o'clock this morning. I know you get up early because of your show, but I mean, there's a lot of people that never get up at 3 o'clock, but a lot of us guys out here that work, you know, do all the hard work. We're always up, and I'm definitely not going to spend an extra 20 minutes to make my face look good so that the other guys that are out on the ranch or they're at the plant or at the wood store or whatever, I mean, we don't care what each other looks like.
Well, and I'm sure your beard or your facial hair is very handsome. Jim, thanks for sharing that. I like that. That's interesting. He's saying that this is the cowboys and the country boys have always done this, and in part because they might think it looks good, but they don't want to take the time to futz with it. And then the professionals are copying them. What do you think, Olga?
Well, actually, I think that's actually true. I mean, we kind of saw the reason why kind of the clean shavenness became a thing in the first place is because we saw a rise in this sort of white collar jobs and professional services in the 60s and 70s. And Gillette, the razor company, was actually a major client of some of these Madison Avenue firms. So they kind of started pushing, you know, shaving and looking a little bit more groomed. And also there were, you know, wars in the early part of the 20th century, and the military tends to sort of, you know, enforce certain grooming habits. So it was kind of, you know, kind of a top-down phenomenon for a while. And I think now we're just sort of seeing pushback against that. And it's also sort of, you know, the cyclical nature of fashion.
I'm just curious, when you mentioned the military enforcement, because I do recall a lot of, in the 70s, the hippies and post-military even, growing beards. Was there sort of a, I don't know, some sort of rebellion going on with that?
Exactly. So, I mean, you have a spike in beards, you know, through this study that I looked at, you know, in the 1920s and the 1960s, which are two kind of periods of counterculture. And, you know, in traditionally more kind of buttoned up periods or even more kind of buttoned up professions, you don't see it as much facial hair. And, for example, you know, even today there are still some religious universities that prohibit beards. So it could be seen as kind of a form of protest or of kind of going against the grain, and maybe that's what's adding to its appeal now. Of course, pretty soon it's going to be the grain.
Right. Let's go to Clarence in Watertown. Hi, Clarence. Do you have a beard?
Yes, ma'am. I had to turn my phone off, speakerphone. I did have a beard. I'm one of the military reasons. When I was in boot camp, sometimes I had to shave twice a day.
Oh.
Because in the end, at the end of the day, you know, you stand in formation. The drill sergeant said, did you shave this morning, soldier? And I said, yes, drill sergeant. And he said, well, you go back and shave again. And so I swore when I got out, I was not going to shave. And my wife, you know, then I only shaved once a week, you know, for church on Sunday. And my wife says, you look like a bum. So I quit shaving. And this was in 1971, 72. I got married in 73. And I shaved only sporadically. And then along, we had it trimmed. And you would not believe how cold your face is on a morning like this. You shave before you go to work. And yes, I got talked into the no-shave Movember thing. And matter of fact, we did a 10-minute thing on Channel 3. And it's for men's prostate health because men don't like to talk about their inner workings. But, yeah, that was the first time I had shaved in 37 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
So now, Clarence, because we're coming up on news, you do have your beard now from the...
From the 1st of November, yes. Yes.
Oh.
And it'll be another 37 years before I shave again.
Thank you very much. Isn't that fascinating? And I didn't know that he was did it in part because of having to shave twice a day in the military. So that proves that theory. Any further comment on Clarence's story, Olga?
No, not so much. That's a pretty impressive beard after 37 years, I bet.
Yeah. Well, Clarence, do you have to trim a beard like that, though? You don't...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. My wife trims it and shapes it and does it the way she'd like it to be seen. But, it is a lot of extra time to shave and scrape. And I think, the guest is right. A lot of upper business people look at someone with a beard as, not taking the time to make himself look very good. But like the former caller said, you're outside working. You don't care.
Yeah. Well, in fact, we have Eric who emails, beards are functional. I work in the woods and my beard keeps me warm all winter. Plus, my wife loves it. So... just that functional warmth apparently is in Wisconsin is one of the draws. Well, we're going to check news from Wisconsin Public Radio and National Public Radio, and we will continue then talking about the rise and fall and rise again of facial hair. Our conversation prompted in part by White House Press Secretary Jay Carney growing a beard and it becoming all the rage. We are talking about why facial hair is growing in popularity again these days and welcoming your questions, your stories, your experiences. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I got a beard and you help me groom it. I got a beard. I'm so glad you approve it.
That song is called I Got a Beard by the Beards. So do you approve of beards? Do you have one? Would you like to have one? What do you make of the apparent comeback of beards and facial hair? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Friday, January 17th. A lot of high-profile guys are sporting beards these days, including White House Press Secretary Jay Carney, one of the latest to grow a beard. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions on the rise and fall and rise again of facial hair. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Olga Hazan. She's an associate editor at The Atlantic, where she covers health issues. And she wrote a recent piece on the rise and fall and rise of facial hair. Well, back to the phones we go. Sally in Durand is with us. Hi, Sally.
Hi.
Yes, what do you think of the trend?
Well, I'm kind of neutral on it. I like it when my husband has a beard and also when he doesn't. But there is something when he throws on his flannel shirt and says, I'm going to cut wood. He has a beard. But... recently, he's bought his own motorcycle to ride with me, and he said he's having a fight with his razor until summer because he seems to think that a beard would be the complete package of a motorcycle rider. So you guys said something about the shady characters, and I thought it was kind of funny.
Well, what about the image of the motorcycle rider and beards, Olga?
I definitely think that's part of that whole kind of 60s Woodstock aesthetic that, perhaps some of these more high-profile guys like Matt Lauer, are trying to look a little bit more like rebels now than sort of the clean-cut guys that they were before.
Yeah, born to be wild.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sally, thanks for sharing that. I hope you enjoy it. Philip in Madison is with us. Hi, Philip.
Hey, hello. Good morning.
Morning.
I have a mustache for the simple fact that when I was 11 years old, I was involved in a car accident and I hit the dashboard.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it involved, it damaged, I wound up with over 40 stitches inside of my upper lip. And while it's not disfiguring, it just doesn't look right, so I cover it up with a mustache.
Yeah, I know others that have done similar things, Philip, so there some people might do it... for that kind of cosmetic reason, Olga.
Right, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's definitely one way to kind of change your appearance and kind of project a different image. You know, there have been some there's been some research that shows that it's correlated with kind of social status, or that it makes you look more dignified when you have facial hair. So that's, you know, possibly one strategy for trying out this kind of look as well.
Thanks, Philip, for letting us know. Steve in Chippewa Falls, what about you? Are you do you sport a beard? Yeah, go ahead.
I do have a beard, and but during my life I've had different jobs where you couldn't have a beard, and it definitely makes me feel more free and more like I'm in control of my own life to have a beard. And I wonder if it's a society-wide issue of, in the times when beards are coming back, if we're really seeing people, you know, sort of a decentralization of government power in a way, because, you know, if you look at the Cold War, I bet people weren't wearing beards when we needed to sort of, we were gathering together and we were sort of working together, and men were disciplined and subordinate to the government. And I think that when you have the beard, you're subordinate to no one but God in a way. I think that it's natural to have a beard too. I think that it's, you know, so I think it's more as an issue that's wider than we shouldn't really ask why do you have a beard. We should ask the question, why don't you have a beard?
There you go.
Because you know, what forces are there that cause us to scrape the hair off our face? It seems like it's a real indicator that you're not really. There's somebody above you in your life who gets to tell you what to do, and I think that's so. I enjoy having a beard. It makes me feel like I'm free. I'm deciding my own life, and there's not some boss in my life telling me you better shave, you know, which I have had in the Army. I mean, I've been, you know, and when I was a UPS driver, you have to shave. It's, you have to have a certain appearance. But I question whether why we do that. So
I think it's a great question. So why did men start shaving? Do you know, Olga?
Well, we don't actually, we don't know. It's kind of a chicken or the egg situation, right? So at the same time that beards sort of became less popular, Gillette razors became more popular. But we don't know whether the Gillette razor became popular because people just stopped wanting to wear beards because society was becoming less agrarian and more kind of professionalized, and you saw more people working in white-collar jobs. Or whether the fact that, you know, you now had access to this great new razor that was safer and easier to use, you know, you thought, hey, I can just, you know, shave really easily in the morning instead of, you know, having to use one of those old-fashioned razors that could, you know, really cut you. We don't actually know. It could be either or. But I think there's definitely something to that idea that, you know, as people began working in more of a firm-type structure, beards became much, much less popular really quickly.
And now Steve says beard power, you know. That,
exactly. <yeah. laughs>
Wonderful. Thank you, Steve. Let's go to Cole in Janesville now. Hi, Cole. Cole, are you there? Oh, I'm sorry. He was going to talk a little bit about just the whole art of shaving. I mean, you mentioned the Gillette razor being safer than that, whatever they called that blade that they used to use beforehand. I mean, what is there a trend in shaving right now?
Well, you do have kind of not shaving per se, and this isn't something I don't really study kind of business or fashion trends, but I have just noticed kind of anecdotally that there's a lot more like beard products out there, like beard oil and like beard balm and stuff to actually help you keep your beard looking nicer, even if you decide not to shave. So whereas before there was all sorts of different aftershaves and colognes and things that you could use, now it's like, you know, Bluebeard's original beard balm that you can put on and it'll, you know, smell nice and feel soft. And so if you still want to have a little bit of that metrosexual aspect but have a beard, you can.
I have seen ads for the Grecian formulas for your beard, too.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Bruce in Iola is with us. Hello, Bruce.
Yes.
Hey, you're a barber, I see. What do you make of what's going on here?
Well, I just told your lady that I've been around beards for 55 years, so I know I've trimmed them in the city, trimmed them in the country. If a guy works in the filling station, his beard smells like oil. And if he works in the around animals, his beard smells like a cow or a horse. And beards on most people just plain stink.
Now, Bruce, are you saying? I'm sorry. Are you saying that because you're bummed out that people aren't coming to get a shave anymore?
No, I'm not. I'm just telling you, I trimmed one yesterday, and I could smell dog in his beard.
Well,
your hands eventually end up in your beard.
So we've got to
always scratch your chin or scratch your face, and beards stink.
Oh my gosh! I gotta bite my tongue, or I'm gonna laugh. Beards. We got to groom these beards, Olga.
I know. Yeah, you do have to take care of them, but that's okay because there's rosemary beard conditioner and you know, lavender beard oil available to you.
I really appreciate that, Bruce. I love hearing from a barber your perspective on this. Maggie in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
Hi.
My husband has a beard, and it really doesn't stink. But he...
So does it stink? Does it stink, Maggie?
He's a professional. My husband's a professional, and he does wear a beard. But he wears his beard nicely trimmed, and he always keeps it really well clean and everything. He's a philosophy professor, so you might kind of expect him to be the kind of professional who does have a beard. But, you know, when he shaved it off one time without me knowing, and he just kind of walked out of the bathroom, and I broke out into gut-wrenching sobs. It was uncontrollable. And I thought to myself, I can't believe that just facial hair identifies a person so much to another person. But it really does. It really was I was so affected by it that I actually broke out into complete sobs. I really do enjoy his beard.
And he's got it back now, Maggie. Does he have it back?
He grows rather quickly, so thank goodness.
I know how you feel. I didn't recognize my husband when he shaved his mustache off. I hardly recognized him. I didn't start sobbing though. I'm just teasing. But I agree. There is something about I don't know. I guess identity. Olga, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I do think we kind of get accustomed to seeing someone's face a certain way, and then the opposite can be pretty dramatic looking. I think it's similar. When someone grows a beard, you haven't seen them in a long time, you may not recognize them, and then if they shave it all off, they can suddenly look so different. And maybe that's why those like corny disguises with the big noses always come with a mustache.
You know, my brother-in-law, I remember this now, he had a mustache for all of his adult life, and my sister married him with a mustache. One Halloween, just a couple of years ago, he went as the Dalai Lama, and he came to the party that we were at with his mustache on. It was in the neighborhood where they lived, and he excused himself. He said, I've got to run home, and he ran home, and he shaved, and he came back. It was a shock. It was a shock to everybody because we had not seen him without that mustache, but he certainly was the hit of the party. What about Maggie says her husband is a philosophy professor. I guess you do kind of, there is a stereotype that sure, a philosophy professor would have a beard.
Right. And actually during the time when beards were really unpopular, so during the middle of the 20th century in the, 1950s, academics were pretty much the only people who had beards at the time, just because it's such a cultural thing that's associated with, knowledge and, the philosopher's beard, things like that. So they never kind of gave up on their facial hair.
Chris in Sun Prairie emails, I typically wear a goatee throughout the year, but I began growing my full beard at the beginning of November. I have dark hair, but I am also balding. Maybe I am compensating? it says, my wife is not a fan of the beard I currently have, though. I think it is like to keep it long. Oh, I think he is planning on keeping it as long as the weather remains cold. So, all right, thanks, Chris, for that. We are talking about beards and beards making a comeback. What do you think of the renewed popularity of facial hair? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you have a beard or a mustache? Why? Does your significant other have a beard or a mustache? Do you like it? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
There are beards that reach down to your
and bids that go right up your nose. They're quite impressive, I suppose, but I think I love your bid the most.
We are talking about beards. Are you a fan or a foe? Hot or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Talking about beards because they are going mainstream. We are talking with a guest who looked into some studies on facial hair and the history of facial hair. Talking with Olga Hazan. She is with The Atlantic, and her piece, The Rise and Fall and Rise of Facial Hair, is posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Songbird in Bangor is with us. Hello, Songbird.
Hi, Joy. Hi, Olga. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. I love your name.
Thank you. Well, I could write a book, but I'll just tell you a couple quick things. I've had a beard most of my adult life, and to add to Clarence's experience in the military, what he forgot to tell you is that drill sergeant, when he made you shave that second time, it would be dry shave. You just shaved with your razor with no soap or anything.
Why? And, was that a punishment or something, Songbird?
Oh, well, it's just harassment. Yeah. But the other more important thing I called for was, you know, most, 9-10-year-old boys try to emulate their father. Well, my son was no different. So we caught him trying to shave one day. But guess what he was trying to shave?
What?
His legs.
Well?
Because the only person he'd ever seen shave before was his mother.
You thought that's the way it's done?
No, I'm serious.
Yeah?
That's what happened.
That's interesting. I have to... That's interesting, yeah.
Another real quick one. When I was living at home after I came back from the Army, I got my big beard and all that, and my mom used to hate it. She's, you got such a handsome face, shave that dirty ugly thing off and all that. So finally I relented and I shaved, and at the supper table 2 weeks later my mom says, John, you look different. What happened? I said, I shaved that ugly horrible beard off that you hated so much 2 weeks ago.
She didn't quite realize it at first. That's great. Songbird, thanks very much. Well, that's those are fun stories. It brought back the memory of when I was a little girl. Actually, when my dad would get ready for work, I think I had a regular habit of kind of being in the bathroom when he was shaving, and we would just sit there and chat. And I remember him with that bristle brush and the cup, and he would be getting the shaving cream all foamed up and on his face. And I remember asking him, why don't you grow a beard? And he said to me, my beard would be too spotty and it would be all different colors, and he just didn't think it was attractive. But for whatever reason, when Songbird talked about mom shaving her legs, I remembered my dad shaving his face every single morning. You didn't look into why women shave legs and men don't, right, Olga?
No, my research did not include that. I'm sure it has something to do with, you know, the fact that the other study that I looked into, the fact that skirts were historically very long until just recently in the 20th century, almost down to the floor. So perhaps that has something to do with it. But actually, some men shave their legs like swimmers. So
yeah, that's true.
It's not everyone. Yeah.
Here we go to Greg and Glidden. Hello, Greg.
Hi, Joy. Hi, Olga. How are you ladies this morning?
Pretty good. Are you? Do you have a beard or no?
A mustache and a goatee.
Okay.
Yep, I have a couple older brothers that have beards too. Hey. Yeah. What about Duck Dynasty?
Oh,
I don't think you've mentioned those guys.
How could I forget that? Yeah, the Duck Dynasty beards are the ones that go down, the beards that go down to your toes, Olga.
Yeah, exactly. And they've gotten in some trouble recently.
Yeah. Now, that's not, that particular beard isn't really mainstream, though.
No. Most of the beards that we're seeing now are a little bit shorter and better groomed than that. So I think that is definitely their kind of, symbol of rebelliousness and being kind of a part of a distinct culture.
Yeah. Thank you, Greg. Matt in Madison is with us. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Joy. How are you doing?
Pretty good. What's your story about facial hair?
Well, my family, I've got two brothers and my dad. When the holidays come around at Christmas, we grow what are called Christmas stashes. the tradition is, you know, we all come together and have completely different, you know, wild and zany kind of things. The first year we did it, we all had kind of a standard mustache, and there's a photo of us posing where we look like the Earp brothers from the late 19th century. it's the no-movember kind of grow your facial hair out and then style it for Christmas as a Christmas stash. So
that's really funny. So why just around that time of year though, Matt? Do you shave than otherwise?
I have a little bit of like a stubbly kind of beard right now that I actually it was getting a little unwieldy, so I use an electric razor that you can kind of lower the length of it, but it's more like that 10-day growth you guys were talking about earlier, like 20 days later. So, but no, we just like the term Christmas stash. So
that's funny. Well, why not a new family tradition, the Christmas stash? Thank you very much, Matt. Let's see, who do we want to go to next? I think we want to go to Scott in Milwaukee next. Hello, Scott.
Hi. I've had a mustache and goatee for 20-some years, and over the last year, my goatee has begun to turn white. So I bought some product, and I was going to, you know, dye it back to my hair color, which is light brown, and my wife said, "Don't you dare. That makes you look wise and dignified."
Well, you know, that there is that image to that, too, sort of like the professor, right, Olga?
Yeah, and actually that's another perception of mustaches and facial hair is that they do tend to make people look a little bit older and kind of are correlated with status for whatever reason. So maybe we do kind of think everyone who has a mustache is a professor.
Yeah. Well, you wrote about the rise and fall and rise of facial hair. What's your crystal ball tell you on, is this trend going to be hanging around for a little while?
Well, it's interesting. Things kind of tend to go in a cycle, right? And so mustaches kind of had their time and beards had their time, and then they went away for a long time, and now we're kind of seeing them come back. So I do actually think they're going to become more popular and maybe stick around for, you know, a decade or two and then probably fade away and then, who knows, maybe sideburns will come back.
Let's hope not. All right, Olga, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Olga Hazan is an editor, an associate editor at The Atlantic, where she covers health issues, and her piece, The Rise and Fall and Rise of Facial Hair, is posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks very much for all of your calls. This has been a pretty fun hour. And thanks to Robin Cherry for producing and directing it. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster for on-air production. Well, I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. We're going to review the news of the week coming up in our Week in Review. We will talk about the news that just broke this morning, that Democratic State Senator Kathleen Vinehout is saying she will not run for governor. So that will be one of many stories we will cover in our Week in Review in our next hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.